Welcome back to 94.7 The Pulse in Geelong. We are going to chat now to a friend of the show. I think I've chatted to Kate probably four or five times now, Kate Lockhart. She is a wonderful little community advocate down in the on the Bellarine Peninsula. She's put herself up for election for the council and for Parliament, and she's still very vibrant in driving community activity. Kate, good morning and welcome back.
Oh, thank you, Rob. Thanks. Happy New Year, although it seems to be a bit of a tough start for you.
It has been a tough start to the year, and one of the things in our society we really like to promote, certainly through this station, is the work that that people like yourself, women in community, and the in this region there's been a lot of work done in the Women in Leadership Democracy section. That's something that you're part of. Now, there's been some movement in that of late. Tell us what's happening there.
Well, so, yes, since the federal election back in May, I've moved in to become the president of Women in Local Democracy, and so that's an organisation that's been busy within the city of Greater Geelong for more than a decade, advocating for gender equity and greater participation of women in local democracy, in council representation and in leadership. And they've done some great, they've done a lot of great work, and I've benefited deeply from it, having come through the Women in Community Life Awards and then some other training around local council governance, to step forward into the council elections back in 2024. But, you know, as we well know, Rob, there was only three women elected directly to our local council in the city of Greater Geelong, and that's not really representative of Geelong. So, yep, we're still amongst it, trying to encourage and support women to step forward to amplify their voice and those around them that they're listening to every day.
It's really interesting that that's the case, that a lack of women in elected positions. But it's to be noted there was a period of time which we should be particularly proud of in this region, when all of our local five council municipalities plus Barwon Water Committee for Geelong and the G21 Alliance at one point were all led by women, and that was a really good showcase for this area that women can do the job very well if given the opportunity. But again, the point you're making is that sometimes that they're not given the opportunity when they step up to the plate, but the work that Wild is doing is certainly giving more the confidence to step up and put themselves forward, which I think is really, really good for our local democracy.
Yeah, definitely. And it is great that there are some great female leaders in our broader region, and I think there's no doubt that women, it's known actually that women in positions of leadership make better decisions for those organisations and for those communities that those organisations serve. They are good decision makers. There's just no two ways about it. And let's be honest, women invariably are very good resource managers, because society has us with less opportunity, less financial security, yet we still rise up. And so I think that tough upbringing that most girls have bodes well for positions of leadership.
Your own story is interesting. Your education-wise and your work-wise had you in a position of leadership and gaining great knowledge, but the step that you decided to do to go into putting yourself forward for, first of all, council and then Parliament, how did that take place in your life journey?
Well, as I said, I was nominated by my peers from Drysdale Primary School into the Women in Community Life Awards, which the City of Greater Geelong and Wild were founding sort of partners. And that gave me that confirmation, that affirmation, that the work that I've been doing out on the Bellarine is valued and is actually seen, and then that gives you a bit more confidence to speak louder and, you know, continue to strive for things that women and children need, like footpaths to primary schools and childcare centres and connections to banks and to doctors so that they can perform their unpaid primary carer role. So there are some of the things that I'm really passionate about. And so coming up later this month, Women for Election, which is a federal, a national organisation, are running some power-up workshops in the region to get ready for the state election. And so there's one being held on Wednesday, the 25th of February, at the Geelong Library in partnership with the Geelong Regional Libraries. So that's a 9 till 3pm workshop that if you are thinking about, if you're a woman in community that's doing good things and you've got the confidence to speak on behalf of your community, then come along and let's see if we can give you a few more skills to take that next step to, you know, think about running for council in 2028, but also, you know, make some noise around the state election at the end of this year. That's specifically what it's designed to start developing candidates and a team, you know, teams around candidates, so campaign managers, media people, policy writers, to support the candidate to develop consistent policies and presentation skills to cut through to the broader community to get elected.
You've been working in this space for quite a while professionally and voluntarily, and this particular movement to make a difference to the gender gap and women being promoted in society in general. In that period of time you've been focused in this area, do you think genuine progress has been made?
Oh, for sure. For sure. You know, on any, whatever time scale you look at, of course progress has been made. But if you look on the very recent time scale, say the last 18 months or this present council in the city of Greater Geelong, that the piece of progress that has been made is that three women were elected directly in their own right, so that's progress. But the representation and I guess the, you know, even just the lack of diversity within the men that have been elected is also underwhelming as well. You know, they're predominantly of a certain cohort in terms of education and financial security. And so, you know, the diversity amongst the men on council is also underwhelming and leads to narrow decision-making and narrow perspectives, which makes it harder to, you know, to adequately implement something like a gender equity framework if you just don't have the work experience or the life experience to see the diversity of our culture that we have in Geelong.
It probably seems like a very natural thing to do that when you're in a population where 51% of members are female and the decision-making process should probably contain at least 50% of the people for that diversity in thought process. But it's traditionally, and you touched on it there before, traditionally society has looked to strong, successful male business people to be the decision makers. And although it was set in stone a long, long time ago in our history, it's going to take a while for the change to be normal. And we are still beating up against that old traditional methodology around who should be setting the pathway for us.
Yeah, for sure. But it's, you know, Geelong's made up of, yes, there's some big businesses, but there are lots of small businesses. And many of those small businesses, the front person, particularly in retail, is a woman. So women of Geelong can absolutely run businesses. Every other trade business has a fella on the tools predominantly, and the women running the books and the administration and the appointment time. So women can run businesses and women can run Geelong. and so it is it's kind of a oversimplified paradigm that I don't think stands up in 2026. I think it's letting us down.
Now, the other thing that's happened in your world and what's happening in Geelong now with a little bit more impetus is the community independent political model, which was started off by Kath McGowan many years ago in the seat of Indi in northern Victoria. She has been a guest on the show, and is one of the great privileges I've had is speaking to her about how that model started, how it was her community who encouraged her out of frustration to go and represent them because they saw her as a natural leader. She told the story of that happening, and now many others. Helen Haynes has followed her in the same seat, but many others have used that model. Community groups come together, select a candidate to represent their needs and have the community, if you like, instruct their candidate as to how they want to be represented. The model, as I see it, works pretty well. There's a great deal of criticism, mainly from the two major parties and sections of the media, to push back against it. But in Geelong, you were involved in the beginning of it, the last federal election. How did you enjoy that experience, and how do you see that voices of model working in this region, but in the future of Australian politics?
Well, clearly, it is the silent strength of Australian politics, and that was shown in the federal election. Yes, the Labor Party won in a landslide thanks to some poor leadership on behalf of the Liberal and the National Party, which continues to persist, unfortunately. But the things that Labor won votes on were things that the independents were pushing for. You know, Labor captured the 20 votes by reducing the HECS debt, and that was something that was advocated by the independents. And there were another couple of examples that were heavily advocated by the independents that Labor took up, and they were the masterstrokes who captured certain subsets of the election base that the conservative side of politics isn't addressing. You know, women, women under 50, you know, students. That there's a change afoot with the baby boomers not being the dominant electoral cohort or sub-cohort. You know, the power of the vote is now on those people below 30. And so the independents are more nimble and able to capture the energy and vision of that future. So I think the independent movement's got a lot of potential, and I'm hoping. And we've got a bit of a boost, you know, by running in Corangamite on a 7 or 8 week campaign. We captured 4,500 votes. So the people are really keen to have their voices heard, and the preferential system that Australia has is very equitable, and it's a great opportunity to send messages about what you really want. And there was some great data that came out before the election about how the independents, you know, are genuine contenders, and this two-party preferred system is on the cusp of dismantlement, which I think is really powerful. It's really great to have a third movement to bring that diversity and bring that perspective that means that, you know, more of us are actually represented by our local member. And I think that's what the community independents really do. They have a strong sense of what their community wants. And I reckon it's challenging in a place like Geelong because of the diversity. But embrace the diversity and show your tolerance and listen, and you'll still find common. You'll still find common ground to advocate for sensible infrastructure and sensible social supports and action on environment and gender equity.
Another federal election in 2028. How's your enthusiasm to have another crack?
The federal election's a long way away, as I'm sure Susan Labor would truly appreciate. I think there's a lot that we in the Geelong community and independence movement can do before then. As you know, we've got a Voices of Corangamite group. I've gone in as president there in order to be the custodian of that $15,000 that we were awarded after gaining 4,500 votes. So we're keen to, you know, get started on our kitchen table. We want to reconnect with our members and our volunteers to pick up what the local issues are in the across the Corangamite, but particularly in the state seat of South Barwon, which is really pretty open. There's been a fairly ineffective local state member there for the last 4 years, and so we're really keen to hear from the community in South Barwon, which is those suburbs of Highton and Grovedale. The local council was of Barrable Hills and Deakin and Charlemont in particular, and hear what those community issues are and try to elevate those community issues up onto the state election agenda. So, and we could want to do that across across both Corangamite and then also into the federal ward of Corio as well, because there's move afoot to incorporate the voices of Corio as well. So we're calling to all those independent people who want to see some change, some better participation in democracy, to reach out to us and let's get involved and let's see if we can, you know, get the long issues on the state agenda, because we know it's a well-held, broadly well-held Labor town, but you know, we need to hold them to account, and so let's get our local issues up and about. So,
Kate, thank you so much for your time this morning. Good luck in the future. We'll tap in with you again soon, I hope. Best wishes.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks very much for your time.
All the very best, Kate Lockhart. She is a very, very strong advocate in the community down on the Bellarine Peninsula.